One of Hollywood's most talented directors has graciously accepted the invitation to be our guest. He is Mr. Robert Wise, and his latest success, 20th Century Fox's production of Rodgers and Hammerstein's The Sound of Music, is drawing ecstatic praise from critics and audiences alike. Welcome to our microphone, Mr. Wise. It looks as though you have another smash musical on the heels of your other one, West Side Story. You know, you might wind up being typecast.
Yes, actually, I thought when I'd done West Side Story, that was it. I doubted whether I would ever do another musical. I certainly had no idea of doing another one quite as soon as I've ended up doing Sound of Music.
Well, we're all glad you did. Sir, both West Side Story and Sound of Music have a very strong feeling of authenticity. It seems to be a Robert Wise hallmark. Is this realism something you try hard to achieve?
Yes, I like to feel the sense of reality and authenticity in my backgrounds and in my actors and approaches, and I saw no reason why it shouldn't apply this kind of concept and approach to films, to musicals as well. You do have the added problem, I think, in musicals. We faced it first with West Side Story, and probably to a greater degree than we did with The Sound of Music, but you have the problem of finding a style, a concept of treating the unreality of music against the reality of the backgrounds that you deal with, and it's not easy, and it doesn't always come off. But I feel strongly that it should always be attempted that way and approached that way, and if it does come off, as it did for the major part in West Side Story, it's thrilling.
Indeed it is. And combining the music with authentic settings is something you've accomplished with beautiful effectiveness. There's been two new songs written for this movie version of Sound of Music, I understand.
Yes, we have two new numbers written by Richard Rodgers, and we've put quite a bit of the picture outside, and in its original setting, that is the setting that was in the original story, and that's Salzburg, Austria. We went over there and shot for almost 3 months, shooting all these scenes against the real backgrounds and location scenes and numbers. We do several numbers over there. And everybody who's seen the film are absolutely thrilled by the results of our combination of scenes and song with these magnificent backgrounds of the Austrian Alps and Salzburg itself.
And I imagine you were very pleased to have Julie Andrews as one of your stars.
Well, pleased is putting it very mildly. Of course, everybody loves Julie, and she is an absolutely marvelous girl in person, a tremendous talent, a thrill to work with, and I think has just, you know, just does so much for our picture, as well as she did for Poppins and Americanization. Of course, we're all delighted, not only for The Sound of Music, but more even for Julie herself, that she's had this big, tremendous smash after the years of not being on the screen, let's say.
You were telling me earlier, Mr. Wise, that you had your fingers crossed during the filming in hopes of the picture turning out well. But finally, when composer Richard Rodgers saw it, he was pleased and delighted. That's rather important to a director, isn't it?
It is important. We ran about an hour's worth of the still rough cut film for him. I wasn't here, actually. I was in the Far East looking for locations on another film. So my associate producer, Solly Chaplin, ran the first hour or so for Rodgers, and evidently he was out of his mind with joy about it, really. I got a wire in Hong Kong from Chaplin saying Rodgers saw film and ecstatic. So we'll take it from there, let's say. He at least feels that good things have been done with his property, and that's always nice to have that kind of commendation from the creators of the original show.
I'm told that a director's work is never done, that for the several weeks or even months that he's shooting a picture, he's living it every moment. Is that right?
Well, yes, you are living it almost all the time, particularly when you're shooting. We have our average day. We usually have a crew call 7:30 or 8 in the morning. We shoot to 6 or 6:30. Then it's go off to the projection room to see the dailies. That is the film printed up with the day's work the day preceding. And then there is always the preparation. I like myself to do that early in the morning. Very often I'm up at my home at 4:30 or 5 in the morning with a thermos of coffee and my script and planning out my day's work. Before I even come in the studio, I prefer to do it in the morning when I'm fresh rather than the evening after a day's work on the set. But it's all individual. Other fellows do it the other way. But it is, you find yourself actively with the preparation, the shooting and all, looking at dailies and discussing. I think you find yourself a good 14, 15 hours a day involved directly in the production when you're shooting.
Well, this total involvement certainly pays off, as did your insistence upon authenticity in actually shooting so much of The Sound of Music in Austria itself.
Yes, it's opened the story up very much, made it more exciting for the screen, and I think has made it a more honest and truthful and kind of less fairy tale story than it might have been on the stage.
Mr. Wise, talking with one of the top motion picture directors of our time has certainly been a pleasure. Julie Andrews and Christopher Plummer were fortunate to have you guiding them in the new 20th Century Fox production of Rodgers and Hammerstein's The Sound of Music. Robert Wise, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you.